Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening this morning. If you have any questions concerning the things that you hear on this program, please don't feel free to write me at 232 South College Street, Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 40330. I will always seek to give you a Bible answer. Also, at the end of our broadcast, you'll be given our service times, and we cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Ladies and gentlemen, we are discussing, since the month of July, the subject, the kingdom. Is it a future event, or has it already taken place? Premillennial thinkers believe that the kingdom is yet to come. The greatest majority of the religious world teaches that the kingdom is a future event that will take place at the coming of Christ. Yet the scriptures and the prophets and the New Testament give a much different picture. And so we spent the whole month of our July broadcast to show that the kingdom and the church were one and the same, and show that the prophecy was fulfilled in the correct time period in the Roman Empire during the time of the first century, and we see the fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. And we went through the prophecies, and we showed the fulfillment, and even the words of Jesus himself in Mark 9 verse 1 that said some would not taste death till they saw the kingdom come with power, and indeed that did happen. Last week we looked at the throne of David, the spiritual throne of David. Is it something that is not in existence yet? We showed the prophecies concerning that throne, and then we showed the fulfillment was in Jesus Christ, and that he is ruling and reigning at the right hand of God, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 29 through 33, and also that that kingdom will stay in existence until he gives it back to his Father, and he is ruling and reigning now. This morning we want to look at the Abrahamic promises. In Genesis chapter 12, God made some promises to great patriarch Abraham. And we want to go back for just a moment to remember in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. And we know that man became evil, and because man became evil, God determined that he would destroy mankind from the face of the earth and cause a great flood to come upon the earth. And just 8 souls, Noah, his wife and their 3 sons and their wife were saved in the ark, which he built according to God's specifications. But then that leads us to Genesis 12 and to the great patriarch Abraham, who is called a friend of God in James 2, verse 23. God extended his promise of redemption that would come through Abraham that began the development of the scheme of redemption for all mankind. The premillennial teacher affirms that all the promises made to Abraham have not yet been fulfilled, and that something special still lies ahead for the physical descendants of Abraham. In this lesson, we want to discuss 2 of those 3 promises made to Abraham and show that God has fulfilled everything he promised already. Let's read the promises. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the family of the earth shall be blessed. In those promises, God made 3 special promises: a nation promise, a land promise, and a seed promise. If we can trace through the scriptures, if those promises have been fulfilled, then we will know the answer to our question, have all the Abrahamic promises already been fulfilled? These promises were given, as we just read in Genesis 12. They are given again in Genesis 13:16, and also in chapter 15 and verse 6. The promises were renewed to the son of Abraham, Isaac, in Genesis 26:1 and 5, and then to his son Jacob in Genesis 28:3 and 4. And so the nation promise was a promise that his seed would be a great nation. But he also made a land promise, and that's also contained in Genesis 12, verse 7, and also in chapter 13 and verse 15. Canaan was promised to Abraham. Later, Abraham asked God, "Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Well, if you care to read Genesis chapter 15, God answers that question. Notice in that chapter, Abraham's seed, or his descendants, would sojourn in a foreign land, verse 13. The descendants would be afflicted by a foreign power, in verse 13. Captivity would be for over 400 years, in verse 13. Compare this with Galatians 3, 16 and 17, and 430 years from the promise to Abraham to the time of the Exodus in Egypt. In the fourth generation, they would come back, according to verse 16. Four generations in bondage. We read that in Exodus 6, 16 through 20. Notice the reason it did not give the land to Abraham in his lifetime. The iniquity of the Amorite was not yet full, verse number 16. The Amorites lived in the land of Canaan, and they were not wicked enough to be driven out at the time of Abraham, but in 400 years, they would be. Notice the extent of the land was defined from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, in verse number 18. The covenant of circumcision is given in Genesis chapter 17. This covenant pertained to the land and to the flesh. Just as the land promise was an everlasting covenant, so also was the covenant of circumcision an everlasting covenant, Genesis 17 verse 13. An everlasting covenant is one that lasts until the end of the age or the period of time under discussion. Note that circumcision is no longer a binding covenant today, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. Again, this promise was also renewed to Isaac and to Jacob in Genesis 26, 1 through 5, and in Genesis 28, 13 and 14. Did God keep his promises? Well, let's see. Did he keep the nation promise? Did he keep the land promise? It was not until the children of Jacob, or as his name is later changed to Israel, that he went into Egypt that the great nation promise began to come to pass. You see, Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. But they grew up in bondage, in hard bondage in Egypt. 70 souls went into Egypt and multiplied until they were truly a mighty and great nation of people. The Pharaoh of Egypt began to fear this great number of people because they grew so rapidly. Therefore, to keep them from turning to his enemies or becoming his enemies, he placed the children of Israel in severe bondage. It was 430 years from the time of the promise made to Abraham until this nation stood newly delivered at the foot of Mount Sinai to receive the law of Moses. God had faithfully fulfilled the nation promise to Abraham and his seed. When they stood on the other side of the Red Sea, free from Egyptian oppression, freed from their bondage and slavery, they were now a free people. They were now a nation. That promise that God had made, promise number one, had been fulfilled. Israel was his people, a great nation. But another promise that is very important in our discussion is the land promise. It's important to note Israel will receive the land God promised because God had unconditionally promised it to Abraham. However, the retention of that land was conditional. Now let me say that again. Israel will receive the land of God, the land that God promised, because God had unconditionally promised it to Abraham. He would have a land. God told him that in Genesis 12. However, the retention and the regaining and holding on to that land would be conditional. Read the blessings and cursings of Deuteronomy 28 through 30. It was conditional upon their faithfulness and their obedience to the law. Also read Deuteronomy 26 verse 5 and Deuteronomy 7 in verse number 6. Israel received the land unconditionally. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 8, "Behold, I have set forth the land before you. Go in and possess it, the land which Jehovah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. You can also read this in verse 21 and verse 26. But what we want to look at is in Joshua. Please open your Bible, if you have them, to Joshua chapter number 21. Joshua chapter 21, and we want to read verse 43 through 45. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land in which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now I want you to notice in this text, it says that he gave them all the land, all the things that he had promised to their fathers, all the things that he said that he would give them, he gave them, and the land promise was fulfilled. They received the land just as God had directed. They received the promised land. And in the book of Joshua, that promised land is divided out in inheritance to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, you will also notice in Joshua chapter 23, Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing has failed of the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass, not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass, that as on all the good things have come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the harmful things, until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed down to them, the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from the good land which he has given to you. Notice the conditional nature of keeping the land of Israel. If they would remain faithful, if they would not go into idolatry, if they would obey his voice. Now we know that they did not obey his voice, that they did go into apostasy, they did go into spiritual adultery, and God destroyed them. First of all, he took the land away from Israel during the days of the divided kingdom when they went into Assyria captivity in 722 BC. 135 years later, Judah went into captivity in Babylon, and she remained there for 70 years. Then she was allowed to come out and to rebuild the temple and the walls and the gates of the city. But I want you to notice that Joshua twice tells them that God had fulfilled every promise that he had made to them. Every commitment that he had made to them, he had fulfilled. Now, they lost the land because they were disobedient. Where is the promise that once they lose the land, God will ever give it back to them? No such promise exists in Scripture. Therefore, we must conclude the land promise and the nation promise has been fulfilled, and there is no future land that Israel will receive because that promise is done and God has fulfilled. Therefore, the premillennial thinker is wrong. Tune in again next Sunday morning. Thank you.